heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember that we have so many outreaches, including the Hank Unplugged podcast. I just got done doing a Hank Unplugged podcast, which was one of the most stimulating podcasts I think I've ever been engaged in. And we'll be uploading this new podcast very, very soon, just as we upload new videos to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube virtually every week, including every episode of Hank Unplugged. So make sure to subscribe to the Bible Answer Man YouTube channel. One of the things we're talking about in the podcast today is the spiritual discipline of reading. Just as prayer, this is a spiritual discipline that was modeled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Reading is not intended to add more stuff to an already overcluttered mind, but rather to provide new heights of perspective, new depths of understanding. Some of the greatest breakthroughs I have experienced during the course of my human existence have come as a direct result of reading. A great example is the Jesus Prayer. I didn't discover this manner of praying in a continuous fashion by osmosis. I discovered it through reading. Reading and reflection allowed me to break out of a petrified prayer paradigm into new vistas of prayer that I could not have previously imagined. For me, well, it might as well have been as transformational as Sir Isaac Newton's design of the first reflecting telescope. Telescopes unveiled vistas of unimagined splendor. And the Jesus Prayer allowed me to catch glimpses of what Isaiah must have surely experienced when he saw the Lord sitting on a throne lofty and exalted in the train of his robe filling the temple. Isaac Newton could never have designed the magnifying power of the telescope by himself. He read and he reflected on the accumulated knowledge of those who had gone before him. So the source of his genius was immersion in a sea of revelation. Revelation, therefore, is the key that unlocks the mysterious mysteries of both created and uncreated energies. And the greatest of all such revelations is the Bible. Newton read it, and so must you and I. I've read so many things, but I've also written so many things. And one of the things I wrote was a book called Has God Spoken? And in reading that book, you get a sense of how to read the Bible for all its substantial worth. I want to deal today, before we go to our phone callers, with a Facebook question that came in from Lorraine. And this was a question that touched me. She says, how can I be a better example when dealing with a chronic health disease? I'm angry all the time. I want to be happy. I have rheumatoid arthritis and just found out I have lung disease as well. The first thing I want to say to Lorraine is that I can identify. This past year, I spent the vast majority of it either in the hospital or in isolation, struggling with a stage 4 cancer condition, stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. And during that period of time, I not only read the Bible, but I read books that really helped me. So again, I can personally relate. I'm not speaking down to you. I'm speaking to you from my own experience laying in a hospital bed for a long period of time. And then, as I said, being in isolation for a long period of time. One of the books that really impacted me was a book by Jean-Claude Larche titled The Theology of Illness. And I would really recommend that you read that book. Not only read it, but reread it. This is one of those modern-day classics. And as C.S. Lewis once said, you don't really own the material until you've read it and reread it and digested it. And this is precisely what I did, not only in the hospital, but I also did in my own period of isolation, where I found out that illness offers the opportunity to acquire the virtue of patience. You know, the Apostle Paul said, suffering produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. I also found out that through sickness, you have a purification of your own desires. There are a lot of places that I would point to. I'm thinking of Macarius of Egypt, and I can only paraphrase his remarks because I don't remember them in their precise form. But he said that if you want to be an imitator of Jesus Christ, so that you may be called a son of God, born of the Spirit, you must above all bear courageously and patiently the afflictions that you encounter, whether they are bodily illnesses or slander, vilification from people, or attacks from the unseen world. Or Isaac the Syrian, who said that without tasting of Christ's sufferings and understanding their significance, the soul will never be in communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. John Chrysostom, Golden Mouth, as we would call him in the English, said that the more God afflicts us, the more he perfects us. So the point here is that illness makes us aware of the less apparent evil that so often afflicts our soul. And as Jean-Claude Larche put it so beautifully, God is not interested in healing us physically. He's interested in healing the whole of us, body as well as soul. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. To communicate what James said. But another way of putting this is without physical suffering, we might well remain indifferent to the state of our souls, or at least be less sensitive to the state of our souls. So God often brings illness for the health of our soul, and I can certainly testify to that personally. And we shouldn't forget as well that illness is often engendered by the passions. In other words, there's so many things that we do within a fallen world that bring on illnesses. It might be gluttony, overeating. It might be sexual passions. It might even be irascibility. And I certainly think that with respect to irascibility, there's a patience of soul and character and speech that comes in suffering. And I hope I've learned that lesson to some small degree. So again, I would recommend the work of Jean-Claude Larche, The Theology of Illness. It is a terrific book, and I hope it is helpful to you as well, not only to Lorraine, but to everyone listening in. We'll go to your questions on the other side of the break. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply cannot do what we do. Everything stops. And I might say that as an attendant liability to being in the hospital for most of this year and in isolation for a good part as well, I wasn't here, although I continued to work. Our ministry took a precipitous dip economically, and if you have some of the Lord's resources and can invest those resources in this ministry, now's the time to do it. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Thank you.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll go to Karen in Baltimore, Maryland, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
It is nice talking to you. Your question.
My question is, I have a friend whose daughter is 15, very hormonal, and came out and said she was a lesbian. They are Christians. They brought their child to a psychiatrist and psychologist and finally decided to bring her to a doctor, and they did blood work on her, and they found that 80% of her body is testosterone, and only 20% is estrogen, and they don't know how to help their daughter.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a fallen world, don't we? And so as a result of a fallen world, we have all kinds of maladies that we face. Some of them are physical maladies, as I was talking about in the first part of the broadcast today, and some are psychosomatic. And whatever the malady is, we want to look for a solution that is part and parcel of a biblical worldview. So you have to look at, the tendency of being a lesbian or the tendency towards homosexuality. And when we look at this, we don't determine whether something's right or wrong by what caused it, but rather by the thing itself. So regardless of whether a tendency is pre or postnatal, it inclines us towards what God never intended. If that's the case, then it remains sinful, whatever its origin might have been. There's a book that we have made available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute that's titled Speaking of Homosexuality. It's written by Joe Dallas, who I consider to be the foremost expert in this regard. And he points out that a lot of people want to point to the physical or the psychosomatic underpinnings of homosexuality in whatever form it's found, but that it has not been conclusively proven that homosexuality is inborn. It's entirely possible that there are inborn elements contributing to homosexuality, which most likely develop from a combination of different influences, some inborn, but also some environmental. And experts are by no means uniform in their belief about what causes homosexuality. Research has often been politicized, and that is what we have found in our culture today. The answers that we get are political answers, and the rush now is to be politically correct. So it used to be, for example, when Joe Dallas and I would do programs on same-sex sexuality or same-sex marriage, a lot of the Christian community would say, yeah, I mean, their reasoning from the scriptures, their reasoning from a biblical worldview, their reasoning from science, their reasoning from genetics, but that reasoning can be accepted because we live in an age of scientific enlightenment. Today, some of that same reasoning will not be accepted, though we live in an age of scientific enlightenment. Why? Because there's a political narrative, and you can't go against that narrative. To go against that narrative causes people to say all kinds of unkind things. They say you're homophobic. In other words, you're afraid of homosexuals. Well, that's not my case. It's certainly not Joe Dallas's case. In fact, some of the most cherished relationships I've had have been with people who are homosexual. In fact, when they've run into some of the difficulties of life, oftentimes, whether it's physical or in a psychological way or a spiritual way, they've come to me. So it's not that I have disdained them or treated them in an unjust fashion or an unkind fashion. I've treated them as true friends, and therefore they trusted me when problems arose. So again, research oftentimes has been politicized, and I think you have to be very, very careful about that, because doctors and nurses oftentimes are touting the political narrative. If they don't, they lose their positions.
What should the parents do to try to help their daughter?
Love their daughter. Recognize that some of these tendencies are definitely real. In other words, you can't deny the tendency or slough it off in some way. You've got to recognize that this is a real tendency. But as I said earlier, you don't determine whether something's right or wrong by what caused it, but rather by the thing itself. So you want to deal with whatever the abnormality is. And there are lots of behaviors that if we were to say, well, a person has a tendency towards it, we would end up rationalizing all kinds of evil. Think about a pedophile, for example. The inborn tendency might be very, very real, but that does not legitimize the behavior. And that is still one of those bridges that fortunately our culture hasn't crossed. So people are still saying very, very strongly and adamantly that pedophilia is wrong. But it may be that we cross that bridge at some point and say, if it's an inborn tendency, who are we to say it's right or wrong? There are a lot of people, in fact, you think about Alex Rosenberg, who was a prestigious professor at Duke University, who would say there is no such thing as right or wrong, good or bad. So who are we to say to an Epstein that what you did was wrong? There is no such thing as right or wrong. So our culture is moving in a very, very dangerous direction.
Yeah. So the name of the book again?
The name of the book is it's by Joe Dallas, and it's titled Speaking of Homosexuality. And he discusses the issues with kindness and clarity. And Joe Dallas himself, just in terms of disclosure, Joe Dallas himself was a homosexual. He lived the homosexual lifestyle. He was a leader in one of the most prominent homosexual churches in the country. And so when he's speaking about this, with kindness and clarity, he's speaking from a position of having experienced this lifestyle himself. And so he's not speaking without any intimate knowledge.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. By the way, I got a question, and I think it came in on YouTube, but I'm not sure. Was Peter the first bishop of Rome? It's by a person identified as Euliker. It could be pronounced differently, and that's not lost on me, but I'll just leave it at that. But the answer to that question is we ought to say that the church in Rome was founded perhaps by Peter and Paul together. So the real question to ask is, what is the rock on which the Church of Christ was built? And I think the answer to that question is not Peter, but Peter's confession that Christ is the Son of the living God. And as Ephesians 2 makes plain, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself the chief cornerstone. Peter was the spokesman for the apostles, but he wasn't the head. For example, at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, James, who was the bishop of Jerusalem, presided, and Peter's opinion about the circumcision of Gentiles, which was at issue, did not prevail. I should also say that during the first millennium of the church, the first 1,000 years, the church effectively functioned as a sisterhood of 5 patriarchates. Antioch, which incidentally was founded by the Apostle Peter and where the disciples were first called Christians, Alexandria, which was the patriarchate founded by the gospel writer Mark, Jerusalem, as I just mentioned, which was home to the first ecumenical council, maybe we should call it the first pre-ecumenical council, Constantinople, capital of the Christian Greek Roman Empire, and Rome, the patriarchate, that was designated by the others with a primacy of honor but not supremacy. And I think therein lay the fissure of fratricide. In an era of ecumenical councils, the church functioned as a collegial and conciliar move of the Spirit. The Bishop of Rome was afforded a primacy of honor, but not the state of supremacy he arrogated unto himself. The sin of fratricide, thus, was a sin against the common mind of the church. Much more could be said, but I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you for those who stand with us financially as well as prayerfully. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.